Thank you, band. Isn't it wonderful to have some applause? Thank you. It's so good to hear. It is so good to have you here. I just can't tell you how wonderful it is to stand here and see people in the seats. So thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Well, this month we're going to be taking a look at beauty. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. From Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We find these words that many people know. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything has been made beautiful in spirit's time. Now I want to use this morning what I have called at times the Palmer paradigm to talk about beauty. If you've been in my classes, and I think I've even used this in a sermon time before, but the Palmer paradigm is what, so what, and now what. So let's take off with that having to do with beauty. Beginning with what is beauty? To give you a technical definition found in the dictionary as such, beauty is a combination of qualities such as shape, color, or form, or sound, I added that, that pleases the aesthetic senses. That's real specific, isn't it? It's difficult to describe beauty. It really is. In 1964, there was a case before the Supreme Court of the United States having to do with pornography. And the judges were struggling with trying to define it and describe it in such a way that they could build legislation around it. And finally, Court Justice Potter Stewart said, "I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it." And I think beauty is a little bit like that with us, is that we can't really describe it, but we know it when we see it. Now, I only realized a little while ago that you're not going to have the PowerPoint slides up here, so I'll have to see if I can make this better for those of you who are sitting here, because John is going to put up some slides on the live stream that people can see. So let's see if we can make this work. One of the least beautiful animals I know of is a possum. But a mama possum seeing this picture would say, "That's beautiful. It's an ugly little baby possum." If you're a car enthusiast, this is a 2020 Stingray. Yes, a vet. Wonderful. If you're a car enthusiast, you would say, "That is beautiful." Yes. The third one is a classic, healthy American modern dairy cow. And if you're a dairy farmer that makes your living with that, you'd say, "That is beautiful." The next one is an incredible sunrise. And if you're a nature buff, you'd look at that and certainly say, "That is beautiful." The next one is the fundamental theorem of calculus. This is elaborate mathematical equation. And if you are a metaphysician, you would look at that and say, "That's beautiful." Then the last one is, if you are Lawrence Palmer, "This is beautiful." And for those of you who can't see it, it's a picture of my lovely bride on our wedding day. I almost made you come up here, so.
Which one?
That one. Well, the question of what is beauty has been addressed by science for a long time. In the realm of sociology, it's been looked at. In the realm of psychology, it's been looked at. And particularly in the realm of philosophy. There's a whole branch of philosophy called aesthetics, that is the study of beauty. And within that, there are several other categories as well. It's quite an elaborate study. I spent a lot of time pouring through philosophy books studying for this sermon. One of the primary points that's brought up in philosophy, though, is beauty subjective or is it objective? Is beauty something internal or is it something external? You've heard it said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's one way of saying it. And when we ask the question, is it external or internal? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it objective? Is it subjective? My response is a resounding yes. It's all of that. It has to be for beauty to exist. Because if we only had the ability to perceive and experience beauty on the inside and not it wasn't on the outside, it would go nowhere. And by the same token, if beauty is an entity outside without our subjective perception, it would simply sit there and nobody would notice. So there is this marvelous, amazing interplay of the objective and the subjective that go together to create our experience of beauty. There's another similar response that comes by way of an old Navajo proverb or blessing: "May you walk in beauty." Now, the Navajos had the idea that beauty is both a path you travel and it is all that surrounds you on the path. Again, bringing subjective and objective together in a very organic kind of way. As we look at creation and we see things like that sunset, some of the other beautiful scenes that are around us, we see the inner form of beauty. We see the outer form of beauty. In things like morality and benevolence, we see the inner form of beauty. So those two things come together in a very special way. So that is, in a nutshell, what is beauty? I know you can go on and on. There have been doctoral thesis written on beauty and things this thick on just the word beauty. But that'll do for the moment anyway. So that brings us from what to so what. Now, we're in the middle of a pandemic that is affecting pretty much everybody on the planet. There are very few people that aren't affected in some way by this pandemic that we're in the middle of right now. We have people who are losing their jobs. People are losing their businesses. Many people every day who are contracting the virus. People every day who are dying from the virus. On and on it goes. We've had so many things happening. In the midst of all that's going on, we've got the social unrest and uprising that's out in our world. The political uncertainty about things right now. All of this is going on. Some of you may think, why in the world are we going to spend time worrying about beauty while we got all this really serious stuff going on? Well, it's important for us to have beauty as a part of our culture. Now, I am a confirmed optimist in almost every situation, but I have a great fear that we're losing something in American culture. I think that common courtesy, common decency, respect, honor, all these things are disappearing in our culture. We don't find them manifested as they should be around us. And humor is another one. Someone said one time that the health of a culture is judged by how often people laugh. And I think there's been a diminishment of laughter as well. So all of these things are being threatened. They're being diluted. They're being diminished. And that's a grave concern to me. And one of those additional values that we have or ideas that we have that's being diminished is that of beauty. Because in the midst of what we perceive to be so very serious, and it is, to be in the middle of what we perceive as a threat, and it is, we still need to hold to the idea of beauty, and that may even be our salvation. If in the midst of all this other that threatens us and drags us down and diminishes us, it may be that our ability to recognize and to bring up beauty actively in our life will be what gets us through this tough time. That's the so what. Why should we be concerned about beauty? Because it is important for us. It's an important part of our life. It's an important part of our culture that we include that in our everyday experiences. Now, the other day on Friday, since the movies are closed and restaurants are closed and other places that you would go for some kind of social interaction or to experience something is not available as much now. Bev and I have been getting out and going around to places in nature, finding all kinds of these little parks and going walking. We discovered that a sign that says botanical garden sometimes means two palm trees and a flowering plant, and that's it. We were so disappointed. We drove all the way across town to a botanic garden that we'd never heard of before. And it was a sidewalk that went around like this, and that was it. But it was something. So we have taken time to get out into nature and to see some things that we've not seen yet around here. So Friday, we took off up A1A. I'd recently come down that way and seen some things I wanted to share with Bev. So we drove up A1A, and we were driving along, and there's this immaculate landscaping. And we said, oh, that is so beautiful. Yes. And we saw these palatial homes along there. Oh my, that is beautiful. And we drive around a curve, and here's the intercoastal on one side, and we look and we say, oh, that is beautiful. And then we go around another curve, and it opens up into the view of the ocean, the beach. And we said, oh, that is beautiful. And there was one place where about a quarter of a mile, the trees had completely grown over the road, and they had trimmed them back, and it was like a tunnel. And halfway through the tunnel, we looked at each other and said, this is beautiful. So we're doing what we can to maintain that. But it is important to have that sense in your life. In the midst of the very real challenges that we have, we can either succumb to them and just completely give up, or we can just let it go. Or we can come back to beauty. And as we recognize the challenges in our culture, in American culture today, we can also recognize beauty. And that's important for us. So maintaining A consciousness of beauty is important to our culture. That's the so what. So that brings us what, so what, down to now what. What do we do about it? So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this matter of now what. Next week, we'll be looking at beauty in our thoughts. Next week, beauty in our feelings. And the next week, beauty in our actions, to bring all those things together. Now, Bev and I could have sat at home and on our patio. We have a lovely backyard, and we could even sit there and say, this is beautiful, and done that much anyway. But there's something about seeing something new. There's something about a different experience. There's something about getting away. We use that phrase a lot, getting away. About a month ago, Bev and I had the opportunity to go up to Georgia and stay in a cabin out in the woods just to get away. And it was wonderful to be up there. And it was beautiful. Yes, it was. So one of the things that we do, knowing what we know now about beauty, is that we take advantage of opportunities to experience it in new and deeper ways, to be able to get out and see what is there and recognize what is there. And it may be that you find something that you hadn't expected to find. You might find a location that you hadn't thought of before that seems to be just wonderful. You might suddenly find that you have a real affinity for decorative plants and that you've never looked real closely at the flowering plants. It may be that living in Florida, you've never paid attention to how many different kinds of palm trees there are. And I'm beginning to get a photo library of all those different kinds of trees and the different way the seed pods come out and everything. And all that is part of the beauty. But if we don't get out and experience it, it's there waiting for us, but we haven't connected with it yet. So in this coming week, I encourage you to open up to beauty. Open up your mind and your heart to beauty. And realize that beauty is in you and beauty is out there. And the wonderful thing that happens is when those two come together. The beauty in me is activated by the beauty out there, and I honor and recognize the beauty that is out there, which is why it's there in the first place. You know, a while back I was looking at some of the enhanced photographs of the nebulae that are out in space and all these huge formations of stars and so forth. And the way they put them together, they colorize them, and they're just, if you've seen those, it's just amazing. And I think, this thing I'm looking at right here is 100 million light years out in space. I'm never going to see it other than this picture. And it's just out there all the time. It seems like a waste. And then I thought, well, that's pretty arrogant of me to think I'm the only one looking at it. And then I imagine, you know, in Genesis, the Bible tells us that God would come and walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden, as a part of their connection. And I was just imagining God taking a stroll out through the universe. And what's a light year to God anyway? You know, 100 light years is a step. So I can imagine God walking through outer space and say, oh, that's a good one. I did that. Well, a little more orange here and whatever else. But those things are there for the experience of the Creator. And we are in a similar fashion, in a similar place. We have been created in the image and likeness of God, and we too can experience that beauty and experience that connection with all that is around us. So in this week, as we are opening up to a deeper, deeper understanding of beauty, I invite you to be open. Open your mind, open your heart to all the beauty that is around you, and see if it might not show up in a place that you didn't expect. Because when you start expecting something, things change. When you start anticipating something, they tend to show up. So I want to return once again to that scripture that I read at the first of the service. And as I have challenged you this week to bring the experience of beauty to the forefront of your life right now, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, everything has been made beautiful in Spirit's time. So I want to invite you to be still with me for just a moment. Let these words, these ideas, these pictures soak into your mind, into your heart. And acknowledge the beauty that is in you. Acknowledge the beauty that is in all of us. Acknowledge the beauty that is in the world. And allow that inner and outer to come together. allow that subjective and objective to become one. And we are the beneficiaries of that magic, that miracle, when beauty becomes real to us. So imagine the thrill of experiencing beauty at that deeper level. Imagine the excitement of seeing something as you've never seen it before, hearing something as you've never heard it before, feeling, experiencing something like never before, and allow that joy of beauty to move within you in this coming week. May you find that to be great pleasure for you. God bless you, my friends.
And those in our studio sanctuary this morning, and if you're on Facebook, if you go to our website, unitypompanobeach.org, you will be able to find the live stream there and scan across and find the photos. Keep that service for reference all during the week. If you want to be reminded of beauty, just tune in. And while you're there, see what's going on this week. We have book club on Wednesday night. Again, everything on Zoom is by registration. If you're not familiar with it, just call our office or email. All our contact information is on the website. We also have Women of Unity. Our women's meeting is coming up on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12. So come on in and wait for some more information on that. Will be on the website. First of all, I want to let you know, well, I guess it's not first, is it? I've been talking a while. Primarily, we are featuring a new class now starting Tuesday night and for 3 nights. Garland Landreth, Dr. Garland Landreth, will be doing a healing series with using EFT, tapping, Ho'oponopono, and other techniques to lead us into healing anxiety, reframing negative thoughts and feelings, and then the last week is going to be on weight loss. So tune into that. Again, the information is on our website. So while you are looking for beauty, you can shop Amazon and sign up to be linked with Unity of Pompano Beach for our for charitable contributions that come from Amazon. So our donate button is also on the website with our prayer request form and ways to contact us. So we thank you so very much for continuing to support Unity of Pompano Beach these 6 or 7 months now as we continue on offering all of our usual things virtually. So we thank you, and we want to bless your giving. Those today, if you've brought a check, there's a plate there to drop in your money as you leave. We thank you for giving online. And we want to bless everyone's gift. And for those who are unable to give right now, we will keep going, waiting for you to be restored in your financial prosperity. And we know that we will still be here for all of us. So let's bless those gifts. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us, and so it is. Amen.